Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're live broadcasting from the Gaylord Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. We are at the annual National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in our American Family Radio booth / suite. And we are just, it's a lot of fun to see colleagues and friends from around the country who are in the same kind of ministry that we're in terms of radio and television and, you know, just getting the gospel message out there, both here at home and around the world. Ed Battagliano with me here, and also back home in Tupelo is Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, sir?
It's a good day here in Tupelo. I think you already heard the weather report from Fred earlier, so I won't rub it in. But, yeah, we're having a good time here.
All right, I'm going to – Alex McFarland's with us. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, everybody.
Alex, we've invited Alex to sit in and add his commentary. I've asked Alex if he could give us a couple of different conspiracy theories this half hour because
– the earth is flat and we should adjust our lives accordingly.
Okay, that's one.
That's one.
That's a good one.
Let me think up something else here.
Yeah, well, you guys keep telling me the weather is good back home. Let me see. What do you mean by good? Not raining?
Yeah, yes. Right. That qualifies anymore, huh?
58 degrees and what? Sunshine?
Partly cloudy.
I'll take that. 60 this afternoon. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
You going to be doing the show with Bert this afternoon from here?
Yeah. We yesterday had a great show. Dan Steiner from Preborn was on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Bert was here. I was not yet. I just landed about 35 minutes ago.
Yes. We were going to have you on during the last hour, but you got delayed in Atlanta.
Tell that story, though, about you. You travel out of the Charlotte airport, right?
Charlotte or Greensboro, and occasionally Raleigh, depending on who's the cheapest.
Which is the closest airport?
Greensboro is the closest, but frequently more expensive, so I go to Charlotte.
Okay, but you connect a lot in Atlanta.
A lot
in Atlanta.
So much so that the Delta ladies know my name.
That's why I wanted to ask you.
They know your name?
Tell that story.
They do. At this gate, and I'm trying to think, I think it's like B-26 in Atlanta.
That was a good song on the old record
don't
player,
play
too.
B-26 in Atlanta?
Yeah, but they'll if these certain two gate agents, these dear ladies, and they're Christians, and they listen to AFA, and they'll say, Pastor Alex, where did you preach this weekend?
Really? They listen?
Oh, yeah.
And they work
and they know if I'm connecting, I'm on my way to either going to preach or coming from having preached. And I told him one day, I said, you know, I'm touched that you know my name. But I said, the fact that the gate agents in Atlanta know my comings and goings, I travel too much.
You are on the road. I mean, you really do travel
a lot. In the air.
Yeah. I mean, how many weeks a year are you away from home?
Probably 40 to 43 or 4. And I take Angie with me. I mean, I get a lot of frequent miles, and when I can, I take Angie with me. But, you know, the Comrex, which is the magical box that enables us to do what we do, you have to plug into an Ethernet cable. And I was running late one time. I was in Silverfish, South Dakota, going to speak at Black Hill State University. And I couldn't make it to the college. So I'm going through this airport lobby, and I see an Ethernet jack. Now, some of you computer savvy folks know what that is. And I sat in the floor of the lobby of the airport in Silverfish, South Dakota, and did Exploring the Word one day. It was Brent Creeley knows what I'm talking about. Whenever I see an Ethernet jack, I'm like, please be a hot jack. In other words, so, you know, when you travel, I've learned my time zones. I will say that.
All right, Steve, we're ready.
Well, as you all know,
your news.
Our president is traveling. He is in India today. And
he's still there?
He's still in India. And I would like to just hazard a guess that he is probably not going to be exchanging cards with Jim Acosta They had another run-in in New Delhi at a press conference. This is an international press conference. I want you to hear what happened. This is Cut 12.
This is CNN. You pledge to the American people that you will not accept any foreign assistance in the upcoming election? And how can you justify to the American people having an acting DNI with no intelligence?
Okay, first of all, I want no help from any country. And I haven't been given help from any country. And if you see what CNN, your wonderful network, said, I guess they apologized in a way for, didn't they apologize for the fact that they said certain things that weren't true? Tell me, what was their apology yesterday? What did they say?
Mr. President, I think our record on delivering the truth is a lot better than yours sometimes.
Your record,
you don't mind
is,
me saying.
Let me tell you about your record. Your record is so bad you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You have probably
I'm
the
not
worst
ashamed
record.
Of anything in our
you probably have the worst record
ashamed,
in the history
sir.
Of broadcasting.
Wow.
You know what? That's Jim Acosta from CNN. You know what? I know that some people will say, well, that the president shouldn't punch back like that. That's unpresidential, whatever. First of all, President Trump, you know, that's who he always has been and always will be. He's going to, and you know that.
Right.
So they sort of they try to goad him, I think, sometimes to react in a way that they can use as a soundbite against him to say, look, this is how, again, unhinged this guy is. However, let me just say this on the flip side of that. There's a responsibility also on the part of CNN and Jim Acosta to treat the president of the United States with more respect.
Exactly.
And whoever the president is, be it Barack Obama or Donald Trump or whoever, treat the president of the United States with more respect than to constantly go after him in such a derogatory, demeaning way. It's you're talking about it being, quote, unpresidential. Well, I'll tell you this. It's unprofessional on the part of the media to do what they do as well.
Sure.
Alex?
I mean, they should respect the office even if they don't like the current occupants.
Well, you can tell a story and report a story. Where, you know, you ask the president something where you say, you know, president answers this. Or you ask the president a question. You ask him a follow-up question. And if he doesn't answer it, he doesn't answer it. And then you report, well, we don't have the facts, don't line up with what the president said about this particular subject. What Acosta does, Steve, is basically Acosta goes in there with, I'm going to fight this guy. Doesn't matter what the topic is. I'm about to fight him. I'm going to give him about two questions, then I'm going to hurl an insult his way.
Not only are they upset that he's the president, but he's taken away a big venue for them when he doesn't do, and Sarah, well, whoever's the press secretary now, Heather or Hope.
It's Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't do the press conferences in the press room anymore where the reporters get to stand up and showboat like a
costume. That's what I mean. He's his own he's his own press secretary
exactly.
Now, you know. Yeah.
Well, what Jim Acosta asked was, it wasn't just a leading question, it was an insulting question.
Yeah.
Mr. President, would you accept, would you say, are you going to accept foreign interference in the upcoming election?
Right.
Tossing back to the whole idea, which has been disproven now, of Russian interference in the 2016
That's
election.
What he's doing.
Basically saying, President Trump, are you going to stop beating your wife?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the president
You're
got upset.
You're going to cheat again?
It's a gotcha question.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
and
do you remember Sam Donaldson was, I felt like, disrespectful to Reagan.
Sure.
This is 30 years ago. But Sam, the modern disrespect of President Trump, I think, really had its origins in Sam Donaldson. I mean, there was a paradigm shift. Donaldson was very condescending and disrespectful to Reagan. Reagan, remember, he would say, Sam, there you go again. And people push back at Reagan for pushing back and holding his own against Sam Donaldson. So, but CNN, I think anybody who even nominally follows the news knows that CNN is speculative, if not outright misleading.
I would think that the Jim Acosta might ask a question, and maybe he did, Steve, relative to the trip. Okay?
I didn't see the whole press conference, but I think this was his first shot.
I mean, you can ask this question when you get back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to cheat in this election too,
right,
Mr. Trump?
Right.
You know, that's basically what he was asking.
Well,
him.
And this is why the press in America, especially the mainstream media, which includes CNN, has lost so much respect in the eyes of most of the American people. The American people had a love-hate relationship with Congress, for example. Okay, Congress has a very low approval rating in the minds of most Americans, extremely low. But for the most part, most Americans don't want to replace their own senators or congressmen slash congresswomen. But the media has destroyed its own credibility because of things like this. And to your point, Alex, the American people know that CNN, we're talking about them as an example, have no credibility left. So sure. I don't know what CNN hopes to gain by continuing to throw Jim Acosta in these kinds of press exchanges with the president, because all they're doing is hurting their own brand further.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're going to do when President Trump is – CNN better hope and pray. Yeah. I know they don't pray at CNN. But
that he gets reelected?
That he gets reelected. Or they're gonna tank completely
Right. Their
ratings, because they depend on President Trump for their viewers.
People on the far left watch CNN to see what they're going to do and say about President Trump. If he's gone, why go to CNN?
Their viewership is woeful, if you look at it. I mean, it's below MSNBC a lot of times. Yeah. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Should you like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.
I think I speak for many Americans when I ask, MSNBC is still around?
I know. It's Chris Matthews.
That's a name from the past I hadn't heard in a while.
Was it MSNBC?
He's on CNBC.
My apologies. See, that shows you how much I watch them. I get the letters mixed up here. That's what I meant. Is it CNBC?
Rachel Maddow's MSNBC. Oh, Chris Matthews is on CNBC.
Okay. All right. All right, next story, Steve.
As long as we got Alex here, I'd like to ask him about something that I consider stunning going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. As we've been reporting, and Alex, you and I have talked frequently about this, there's a bit of an uprising against the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. There's been a conservative group started that kind of is pushing back, and now the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Church has formed a task group because they've been getting word that some churches are holding back their giving from the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission. The Religious Liberties and Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission has instructed Russell Moore and the rest of its leadership to not comply with the inquiry in a page right out of Washington. This is stunning to me, Alex.
My goodness. You know, every time I think it can't get any more weirder, I hear something like this.
We need to tell folks exactly what we're talking about, maybe who are not, don't follow this as in-depthly as maybe some folks, maybe we do. Mm-hmm. What you have at the Southern Baptist Convention, it's a large Protestant denomination, obviously, the largest in the country, right?
Yeah.
I know some Baptists will say we're not Protestant, we're whatever. What?
Evangelical.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But non-Catholic, okay? Yeah. Non-Catholic. All right, so within that denomination, like there are with a lot of denominations, there are agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a particular agency that's designed or there for the purpose of addressing moral issues in America and speak on behalf of the Southern Baptist folks, generally speaking. So there's the typical Baptist puts money in the offering plate. And the money goes for their church and their pastor and programs. And then some of the money goes to the denomination to fund the agencies. One of the agencies being the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, the ERLC, which for years and years was under Dr. Richard Land.
And was great.
Yes. And he was a dear friend of my dad's and was a brother in the Lord and a warrior.
Brilliant guy.
In the cause. In fact, he's where you were.
Yeah, Southern Evangelical Seminary. I was president there for 5.5 years, and then he followed me. And Richard Land, when he was head of ERLC, and by the way, the ERLC for Southern Baptists, this is kind of the worldview office, if you will.
And located here in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. Let me say this. With the giving in the Southern Baptist, churches, you know, they give to the denomination. It's called the Cooperative Program. And out of that comes international missions, domestic missions, evangelism efforts, and like you say, agencies. Well, what's happened and what's been a big point of concern, I think rightly so, for a lot of Southern Baptist leaders has been that in the last, how long has Russell Moore been there, Tim?
About 3 years, four years or so.
Their talking points, and Russell
four,
Moore
4 or 5 years probably,
has been a vocal never-Trumper. It's almost like ERLC has become the sectarian arm of the Democratic Party. And so pastors, and I mean, I'm on the road a lot. I speak with a lot of pastors. They said, look, we've voiced concerns. Some of the seminaries are drifting leftward. We fear the ERLC. And what's really bad in the eyes of the press, when Russell Moore
said, he's the leader of the ERLC who took Dr. Land's position.
I mean, people jokingly call him the anti-Land because he's so he's so different.
Right.
And sadly, some people think he speaks for all Southern Baptists, and he really doesn't. So ministers and churches have been withholding giving to try and say to the denomination, we want the ERLC to be more conservative, biblical, like it was.
Yeah. So this is kind of inside baseball, but what's happened is the ERLC, under Dr. Russell Moore, has told the denominational leaders above them who have oversight over the ERLC, who gets like $3 million a year from Southern Baptist Convention money, that no, we don't want your oversight. Basically,
we do want your paycheck, though.
Right, we do want your money, but we don't want you looking over our shoulder at what we're doing here. Anyway, we will see what happens with that. Next story, Steve.
All right. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about that President Trump got Rod Blagojevich out of prison. He commuted his sentence. Rod Blagojevich,
former governor of Illinois.
Former governor of Illinois, who was put in prison because he attempted to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat. When President Obama got elected, he had to leave the Senate, and it was up to the governor to fill that seat. And so they have phone records and phone calls and tape of Blagojevich saying, this is valuable, what are you going to give me for it? Well, Saturday on Waters World, Blago threw President Obama under the bus. Cut 10.
President Obama began the whole conversation because he sent someone to me as a middleman, a mediator, not unusual in politics.
Right.
On the night he was elected president, to say that he'd like to talk about his choice for the Senate and to see what I might be willing to ask for. Political horse trading, not what those corrupt prosecutor said it was. Yeah, he was basically, asking whether the emissary represented that President-elect Obama was interested in a candidate for the Senate, and he asked, what would you be interested in, those kinds of things, and we began a discussion over the telephone.
So it's Barack Obama that should have been in prison, not Blagojevich, according to the former governor.
So this is one of the reasons why Rod Blagojevich was sent to prison was he was on tape, I guess it was, saying that I have this seat. In other words, to replace Senator Barack Obama, who was elected president, the governor's the one who appoints someone to replace an absent senator in a case like that. And so Blagojevich was recorded saying, I have this huge opening and I'm going to get something for it. And he was prosecuted, and the prosecutors said that he was looking for bribes. And what Rod Blagojevich is saying now is, no, I wasn't looking for bribes. Political horse trading, this is common. In fact, President-elect Barack Obama was one of those who was horse trading with me to try to get Obama's person in and convince Blagojevich to go with that. And so what Rod Blagojevich is saying is that if I'm corrupt, President Obama is equally corrupt. That's a pretty stunning statement that he's made. I have no idea. I'm not surprised if that kind of political horse trading goes on all the time.
I think the guy's got a future in shampoo commercials.
He does have great hair.
I'll say that. Huh?
Yeah.
Maybe he could do something with Touch of Gray or something like that.
Acknowledge that. All right, we got 2 minutes, Steve.
Okay, hey.
3 minutes.
Okay, let me just – I want to play this for you guys a little bit. Somebody has decided to go and compare the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, and Barack Obama, and they're looking at their rhetoric seems to be awful similar, they said to themselves. They put together this mashup, and this is going to be a little confusing to listen to at first. You're going to hear both Barack Obama and Pete Buttigieg at the same time, and then you're going to see that oftentimes their rhetoric syncs up. This is Cut 11.
The way we do every other election by giving it to the person who got the most votes. Just a thought. Brings us together.
This country
was
built.
And it is a movement reaching into church basements and barbershops
and in our schools,
into universities and with union
our kids.
Halls.
And if the voice
we can light up the neighborhood,
then we can light up the city.
Shines as a beacon around the world once more.
And this is our chance to answer that call.
It's like the second coming of Barack Obama.
That was a little confusing, but I will say it was
in stereo.
It was kind of striking that, listen, Bill Clinton was well known. I don't know whether he stated this, or the observers noted that Bill Clinton seemed to mimic in a positive way the speaking style of John F. Kennedy. They said he and people said he mirrored his cadence, his hand gestures, his style because John
I'm sure
F. Kennedy
watched him over and over again and studied him.
Yeah, and it seems like perhaps that is what Mayor Pete has done with President Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, also, there's been some accusations against Mayor Pete that he has been, you know, every step of his life has been leading to this moment. So everything is planned and calculated and thought out in terms of how is this going to look when I run for president.
Right.
You know, and including now, evidently, it sounds like to me he's been watching a lot of Barack Obama tapes and hey, that was a great soundbite. Listen to the reaction he got. I'm going to use that line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's plagiarism or not. I don't think you get
I don't
trouble
think
for
it, with those short of phrases, I doubt it's plagiarism.
Yeah, not right. Plagiarism, but definitely mimicking or copying Barack
Obama.
Well,
and it was very successful for candidate Barack Obama. I mean, he was an excellent speaker, and people said he's, you know, transformational, generational talent in terms of politics. So if you're Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who would you – and you're a Democrat, who would you want to pattern your campaign after?
Has anyone ever become president that's risen to that level from being a mayor of a small town, a relatively small town? So I know South – I can't.
Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, but he was, of course, he served in state legislature before. Ronald Reagan was an actor.
Yeah, he's also governor, two-time governor of California.
Right. Yeah, Woodrow Wilson was a college president. But, yeah, it's pretty early roots.
Yeah, but he's not going to be the one. He's not going to be the
nominee.
No. But I don't know who he is, you know. I don't know who he is. Bernie, the debate, round 17 tonight.
That's right.
In South Carolina.
Biden for Senate 2020.
Hey, is Bloomberg on the stage tonight?
I think so.
I think he is, and so is Andrew Yang.
And this, they're going to go after Bernie Sanders on his relationship.
Andrew Yang?
Yeah.
I thought he dropped out.
No, I think he's on the stage tonight. That's what I read.
No, he dropped out.
He dropped out.
Okay,
he dropped
out. Somebody knew's on the stage tonight.
All right.
Somebody
knew.
I'll bring it to you tomorrow.
All right.
Amy
Klobuchar?
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.